Welcome to Journey Church On Demand. We pray that you are encouraged by this message. For more information, visit us online at journeychurchdfw.com.
We're excited to have you with us. We're starting a brand new series this morning entitled Reset. And we believe that there is power in the idea and the ability for a reset in our lives. You know, have you ever had a moment where something happened and you're like, man, that did not go like I thought it would go? Anybody? Okay, let's go a little more real. Can we go real for a minute? Did everybody survive the great hailstorm of 2019? Yeah? Yeah. Let me tell you something. I hate canceling. I hate canceling with everything that I have, but I'm watching the weather and it's like there's going to be hail the size of small farm animals. Right? We're going to wipe Dallas-Fort Worth completely off the map. And I'm like, oh my goodness. And I'm still like, well, we're going to have church. That's kind of where I was at first. But then it really did sound bad. And so I'm telling different people, I'm like, man, this doesn't look good. I call a mentor of mine. And I said, what do you think? And first of all, he laughed at me. He said, I'm glad I don't have to make that decision. And then he said, yeah, I probably would cancel. Churches all around us are canceling. School districts canceled. Everything shut down, right? So we go home, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, I look out, it is sunny. And I'm like, you know what I'm talking about? But then they're like, oh, but wait, it's still coming, but it's going to be later. So I do what most rednecks might do. I took my wife's SUV and we took it to the mall and parked on the second floor of Dillard's parking lot. You know what I'm talking about? And then here's the redneck part. Brought my truck back because I can't get it in the garage. It's a long story. I bring the truck back to the house. I pull into my yard. And then I take quilts. And I went from the bumper down over the glass with quilts. And then I took a tarp and covered it with a tarp. And then I took ratchet straps and ratchet strapped that rascal down. A tornado could have come through, but the top of my truck was staying together. All right.
Get her done.
So I'm like, oh, all right. But as I'm doing that, I look over at my neighbor. Okay, apparently my neighbor is MacGyver because he builds like this 4x4 type of leg on one side, and then he takes like 1/4-inch steel cable and connects a tarp to his tree and connects to that, and then he connects it to his house. And has like this tarp, and then he puts plywood up on it and backs both of his vehicles underneath. It took his third vehicle to the funeral home. He asked me, you think it'll be a problem? I said, unless they're bringing a body, maybe they'll leave it in the back of your truck. I don't know. Anyways, so he does all of that. We go through everything. I think we got rain. I think it rained because it was muddy. But I'm out there pulling all this stuff off my truck, and my neighbor rides his bike up to get his truck. He comes back, and he looks at me and goes, I'm kind of disappointed. And I'm not going to lie to you, because I made a decision to cancel church and I went through all that, I was kind of hoping for something. I know some of you are like, I cannot believe you said that. I know I have a deductible too. I get it. But I'm like, I almost wanted that payoff. It didn't work quite like I thought it was going to work. So Hailmageddon was not quite what they really thought it might be. But I think a lot of us, if we'd be honest, we have those moments, those situations where we're like, man, I wish I could have that back. Man, I wish I could reach back and have that moment back. I wish I wouldn't have said that or done that. If you're a parent in the room, chances are you have, and it might have even been this morning, right? How many of you know the most difficult time to get a family moving on time is Sunday morning? My wife's marriage, and our marriage is strong because we drive separately. Am I right? Yeah. Stay over here now. I didn't land. But the fact is, we have those moments where maybe you called your kid out or something like that, or it could be even something small. You go to a restaurant, the way you treated a server, whatever it may be. But the great thing is, no matter what our circumstances are, there is an opportunity for a reset. There is an opportunity for redemption in that area. For a lot of us, though, to find that, it takes reflection. It takes time to look back and look at it maybe from a different point of view. See things a little bit differently. When I look at the book of Mark in the Bible, we see an example of that. See a story of a Roman soldier. He was a centurion, to be exact. This man had probably been a soldier all of his life. He has, as a soldier, as a centurion, he has authority over 100 soldiers underneath him. He leads them. He tells them what to do. They basically, if it's jump, they ask how high, that type of thing. That's his role. This specific squad with the centurion that's over, they have probably killed dozens and dozens of men. So today's no different in this story. It's just a normal day at the office. He comes in, finds out he's been given a task, a job to do. And he takes his men where Jesus is being held. His job is to give the order. So he orders the soldiers to take Jesus, strip him of his clothes, take him and stretch him out on a whipping post. And he gives the order to carry out the orders that came in from above his pay grade. It's time to whip. It's time to beat him. And the thing is, these guys have done it for so long, they know exactly how far they can go without actually killing him. Badly beaten and bruised and bloody. They've done it over and over again. So they decide it's time to maybe break up the monotony. Anybody have a little monotony at times at your job? Really? None of you? Okay. I was like, wow, that's impressive. I don't, but yeah. But they want to break up the monotony a little bit. So here's what they decide to do. Hey, he claims to be a king, right? So why don't we take and fashion a crown? But it's got thorns in it. When we were in Israel, we got to see the thorns. They were probably roughly this long, is what most scholars believe. They were not these little bitty things like we see. These big, horrible thorns. And Mark tells us they placed it on his head and they took a rod and they drove those thorns into his head. Your head is full of capillaries, so it bled and bled and bled. And then to add insult to injury, they said, you know what? The king needs a scepter. They gave him a scepter and they gave him a purple robe because that's what a king needed. And Jesus, badly beaten, bruised, and bloody, stands there through the mockery. Now, can we be real for just a minute? If there's ever been somebody who might have gone a little too far to still deserve Jesus' love, it might have been that centurion. If there's ever been somebody that was a little too far, a little too jaded, a little too out there, if somebody's ever made a series of decisions that would preclude them from receiving the love of God, it would probably be the man that was ordering the beating and the eventual execution of Jesus. The centurion, though, while he's there, he's not able to connect with Jesus. And I think there are three quick reasons why he can't really connect with Jesus. And I want to look at that for just a minute. The first one I think is important is his background. I think the centurion, his background kept him from really connecting with who Jesus was. See, he was a Roman. He was not a Jew. So he might have heard about Jesus, but in all honesty, he just thought Jesus might have been at best an eccentric teacher, at worst, a lunatic. So he had to have heard some of those stories, heard the stories, though, of the miracles. But the Jews are looking for a Messiah. The Romans were not. And so he couldn't connect with the role that Jesus played. And I tell you that because I think there are some people in here this morning, there are some of you watching in our online stream, that you're that way. You didn't grow up in church. And so the whole idea, it seems really, really foreign to you. You hear it, you hear the stories, and you're like, what? I can't connect with that. You know, when we're standing and we're singing with our hands raised, and you're like, what are they doing? You have trouble connecting your life with what's going on. You have trouble with that connection piece. You struggle with that. You can identify with the centurion. Others of us, it's not his background, but for him, it would also be his prejudice. The second thing was the centurion's prejudice. And here's what I mean by that. The Romans were known as violent, horrible, horrible people. When they would take over a city, true story, when Rome would take over a city, and their empire was huge, when they would take over someplace, they would come in and they would take men and women and children, and they would crucify them on the road leading into the city. So as you're coming into the city, you would see them hanging on a cross, and you would just know, hey, they're in control. they were vile, vile people. All of those things are there. Those are the thought processes that are there. And the chances are real good because Romans would not have had a good opinion of Jews. So as he's coming in, they're probably chanting or making racial slurs. They're probably calling him names as they're beating him. They can't connect with him. They had a certain mindset when it came to the Jews. And I think some of us, the way we connect to that is I think some of us in the house this morning have a certain mindset when it comes to Christians. You start to deal with Christians and people who claimed to be Christians, but their words or their actions or their attitudes didn't jive with what they said they were. Let's be real. Some of those Christians make it really, really hard to be open to the things of God. Let me kind of explain this a little bit differently. I want to play a real quick word association game. I'm going to say a word, and I want you to say the first word that comes back. And chances are there'll be about 250 different words in here. That's okay. Maybe they'll be the same. You're weird people. Maybe, I don't know. First word, you ready? Flavor. Chocolate, and I heard strawberry. Okay. Vanilla. There you go. Here's another one. Furniture. I think I heard chairs. Did I hear beanbag? Did somebody say beanbag? I did hear beanbag. I thought I did. Okay, how about this? Juice. Orange. Apple. Okay. Dentist. Teeth, pain, money. Those are the three things that I heard. Maybe that was just in my head. I'm not real sure. Christian. Love. That's good. Maybe somebody didn't want to say it. Maybe thoughts like hypocrite, judgmental, boring. Let me tell you something. Spend 10 minutes with me, man. The Jesus I serve is not boring. I'm just going to tell you that now. All right? Intolerant, angry. Too often the churches know more for what we are against than what we're for. And what happens then is we get a bad taste in our mouths for Christians. To be honest, some of these Christians have made you just want to avoid Christians altogether. And so what's happened is you develop that prejudice. You develop that prejudice. And maybe it's subconscious, but it's like, I really don't like Christians. I've had servers tell me, I hate working Sunday afternoons. They're rude, they're demanding, and I don't make much. That should be the last thing that qualify the believer. We should be the most generous in our tithe, or our tithe, yes, but we should also be very generous in our tip, and we should be some of the most loving and patient people ever. If you're not doing that to service, stop calling yourself a believer. Okay, little side note. Every server in the house said, amen. I thought there were a few, might feel that way. But what happens is, we're around some people that do that. And so I want to say this, and I'm very, very sincere. For those of you watching online, those of you in the house, if you've been around believers that have treated you that way, I sincerely apologize on behalf of all of us. And I mean that. I really do. Because you know what? There are a bunch of us that are really good. We're flawed people. We make our shares of mistakes. I promise you that. But we really love people. So if you've had a negative experience, if you've developed a prejudice against Christians, I would hope today could be a day that'll change that for you. See, the centurion, he dealt with his own background. He dealt with his own prejudice. I think the third thing that he dealt with that we deal with is familiarity. These soldiers and the centurion, they've done this so often, it's become old hat. They're used to it. It doesn't faze them to beat a man. It doesn't faze them to take him and lay him on a cross, to drive nails in his hands and in his feet. It doesn't faze them. See, what would happen when you would be on the cross, your hands would be nailed like this, your feet would be nailed into the base of it. What would happen in the midst of excruciating pain, what they would do is they would push up on the nail in their feet to expand to breathe. In the midst of horrible pain, that was just natural. That was a natural reaction. So what they would do after the soldiers watched you suffer for a while, they would come along and they would break your legs where you couldn't push up anymore and you would actually suffocate on the cross. that's the way most people would die. And so I tell you that because that was nothing for them to nail people to the cross. It was nothing for them to break legs and see all those things. They'd seen it over and over and over again. And here we see a centurion who was just doing his job. He's used to the screaming. He's used to the bleeding. He's used to the begging. He's used to the cursing. And he's used to the crying. So again, they need something to break up the monotony. So what do? They take Jesus. He's on the cross. And they start gambling for his clothes. They're casting dice. And I think some of us in the house, it's not that you don't believe it. It's just you've heard it so many times, it's lost its punch. But you almost kind of become meh towards it. It's not that you don't care. It's just you've heard it so often, you disconnect and you dismiss it. We think it's the same old, same old, same old. Pastor's going to get up there and he's going to talk and talk and talk. And really, I'm just about getting my kids out to get the eggs and going to eat ham. And so we've heard it over and over and over again. But I want you to, with that in mind, look at what Mark 15:39 says. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in the way, this way he breathed his last, he said, this is the centurion, truly, this man was the Son of God. The centurion, the one that's least likely to worship, the one who's least likely to care, what is it that changed? Up to that point, it had just been another day at the office. Up to that point, it had just been another thing to do. Whatever day of the week, that's what he knew to do. What is it that changed? Are you ready for this? I believe it's because he saw how Jesus died. He saw something different. Again, he had seen men cry. He'd seen men beg for their lives. He'd seen them fight with all that they had. He saw them call down curses. And yet Jesus was a little bit different. Jesus hanging on a cross. Why? Because that was his mission, because he loves you and he loves me. Matthew tells us that Jesus could have called 72,000 angels down to just tear everybody up, but he didn't. He was nailed to a cross for you and me. See, I think about that for just a minute because this centurion, instead of hearing the screaming, he hears Jesus quote Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? The centurion looks and he sees how loving and tenderly Jesus looks at Mary, his mother, and at John, the apostle. And he says, this is your mother. This is your son. In the midst of incredible pain, he tenderly and lovingly spoke to his mother. The centurion, instead of seeing all of these horrible things as Jesus is hanging on a cross and one thief is making fun of him, Jesus is very loving towards the next thief. Even though the centurion had probably heard prayer after prayer, instead of other things, he hears Jesus say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. What is it that changed? What is it that was different for the centurion this time? It was the way Jesus died. True to his mission. He was true to his mission. And he says, this was the Son of God. And he had a reflection on what he saw. He reflected on the incredible pain and torment, but love drove it all. He reflected on that moment. He reflected on what he saw. But here's the beauty for us. The beauty is it doesn't end at the cross. See, because if it ended at the cross, then it would just be a neat story. But instead, he goes into hell. He defeats the enemy. And he takes all authority to death, to hell, and the grave. And he brings it with him. And on that first Easter morning, he rose again. And he is alive and well. And I want you to hear me this morning. No other religion does the God of that religion give his life for his people. And no other religion is the God of that religion still alive and well. So I want you to understand this morning. This morning is your morning. Today is your day. You may have sat there and said, you know what, man, my background, I've never done church. And that's okay. That is totally okay. Because you know what? We're here to walk you through that. You may be here saying, yeah, but you know what? I have been hurt by Christians and this and that. And I get that too. But I hope you've had a real opportunity to have a reflection on who Jesus really is. Maybe you're here and you say, man, I've just heard it over and over and over. My prayer for you is that it's a fresh revelation. Fresh reflection. Because the fact of the matter is this. Paul tells us in Romans that we're all born with sin in our lives. We're all born with junk in our lives. Things that separate us from a very real, loving God. And what Paul tells us is the wages of sin is what he says is death. In other words, what we get as a result of our sin is an eternity in hell, separated from God. And you could say, okay, preacher, how does a loving God send me to hell? And I'm telling you now, he doesn't. You choose. You choose right now. You'll make a choice to accept what he did, or you'll make a choice not to accept. But to choose not to choose is to choose. You can sit there and say, nah, it's not me. It's not me. Not right now. Then you're choosing to reject it. And the Bible says very clearly, unless there's shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. But God sent his son for his blood to be shed on that cross for you and me. So that then the gift of God is eternal life, where we can have an eternal life with God. I don't know if I believe that. It doesn't change the reality. But how do we know? How do we know that this is right and that Buddhism's not, or that Islam's not? Or how do we know those things? Can I tell you? I am a life that has changed. I could tell you what God's done in my life, and I'm different than what I was years and years and years ago, because God's faithful. Father, I thank you that you're a great God. I thank you that you love us more than we could even begin to imagine. Lord, I thank you that you're in this house right now and you're moving and you're speaking. And I pray, God, you would give us the courage to respond. You give us the courage to step out. You give us the courage to follow your lead. Have your way in this house right now. Speak to us in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to Journey Church On Demand. We would love for you to visit us in person for one of our Sunday morning worship services. If you have questions, need prayer, or would like to connect with us, feel free to visit us at journeychurchdfw.com.